Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Hayar. Yesterday we brought the Midrash on Berkat Kohanim that says, Yivarecha Hashem veYishmerecha. And the Midrash says, veYishmerecha, to watch over you. She says the Midrash, that's referring to the Banot, it's referring to the woman. That they need Shemira, they need watching. What is the reason for this extra Shemira? Everybody needs watching. Boys need watching, women need watching. What's the difference? What's behind the extra reason why specifically a woman has to watch herself? And she has to be guarded. Mishnah Perkei Avot says, Kol shechokhmato meruba mima'asav. You have a person whose knowledge is greater than his actions, which means that he may know a lot, he may understand a lot, but he doesn't follow, he doesn't live according to what he understands and what he knows. So therefore his wisdom is greater than his actions. Not a good place to be. Says the Mishnah, Lema hu dome. What can this person be compared to? What is the right mashal? The right parable says Le'ilan, he's compared to a tree. She'anafav merubin, that has many branches. Sharashav me'atin, but his roots, the roots of the tree, me'atin, are very little. So a tree that has a lot of branches but has little roots, says the Mishnah, Veharuach ba'a, comes a wind, Ve'okrato, that tree has very little chance of existence, because when the wind comes, it uproots it, being that the roots are very me'at, they're little. Ve'hofchato al panav, and he falls on his face. Continues the Mishnah and says, Aval, kol shema'asav, any person who's a person of action, shema'asav merubim mechokhmato, which means his actions are greater than his wisdom, Lemahu dome, what can we compare him to? Le'ilan she'anafav me'atin ve'sharashav merubim. A tree that has less branches but has strong merubim and a lot of roots. She'afilu kol aruhot she'ba'olam, even all of the winds of the world. Ba'ot kam ve'noshvot bo, and they blow on him, en mezizin oto mimekomo, they cannot move him from his place. The Mishnah is basically comparing the great person to a tree that has solid roots, and the failure to a tree that has weak roots. The tree is something that gives fruits, it gives shades, it gives flowers, it gives oxygen. The tree is a source of wealth that gives out of itself to the people that can enjoy from it. But only when it has solid roots. Now, these roots that really determine the effectiveness and the longevity and the success of the tree happen to be under the ground. When you look at the tree, you're actually not watching the most critical part of the tree is not visible to you because it remains underground. The bark, the branches, the leaves, the flowers, the fruits, it's all above ground. That's all visible. That's all the product. But the actual strength and the success of the tree is hidden underground. This is the way Hashem made the trees. It's by design, obviously. There's a lot of chokhmah that we can learn from the way Hashem made the tree. The pasuk says, Ha'adam, and the person is etz ha'sadeh. He's like a tree. There is a comparison between the great person who gives of their fruits and who gives of their service to others compared to a tree. Why is it, before we go to the Adam, to the person, why is it by a tree, according to the way Hashem designed it, why is it proper and necessary for the roots to be under the ground? Why is it that way? Again, I'm talking physically, scientifically for the tree. Why does it need to be under the ground? So there are three main reasons why when we look at the roots, they need to be underground. Number one, because the roots are not strong and protected like the bark. The bark of the tree is nice and solid. People bump into it, they could punch it, they could do whatever they want to it. Very hard to ruin the bark of the tree or even the branches that come out of the tree. They're solid, they're protected, they're strong, they're hard. But the roots are not made up of that material. And therefore, they're very sensitive. A person who steps on them, a person who rips them, they're very easily damaged. So when they're under the ground, these soft roots, they are protected from the damage that can be caused. Reason number two, why the roots need to be under the ground. There is a lot of nutrition that's deep in the soil. There's even water that's deep under the ground. And the roots, when they go below the ground and they start digging deeper, they will be able to reach nutrition and water that's going to be the life of the tree. Even during the months when there's no water outside, it's summer, and there is no way for the tree to get what it needs to be hydrated. But the roots are able to dig deep and to gather the hydration that's needed and the nutrition that's needed. It is known that the taller the tree, the deeper are its roots, because the roots have a way of going in depth to reach the necessities for the tree to flourish. So that's why it has to be underground. And the third reason why it has to be underground is because roots, if they would be above ground, there would be a michshol. They would be a stumbling block for people that are walking. The nature of roots, the way they're made, if you walk next to them, on top of them, a person could easily trip. So therefore, to protect the people on the outside, Hashem took the roots and hid them underground. So this way we could walk right next to the tree and we are safe and protected and we don't trip. These are the three simple, obvious, I'm sure there are many more reasons why the roots are underground, but at first glance, these are three very simple, obvious reasons. Number one, it's to protect the roots because they're sensitive, they're soft, and easily could be damaged. So for their protection, they have to be under the ground. B, the ground they're under has a lot to offer for the success of the tree. So therefore, they have to be there so that they can dig and be able to reach what's needed. And C, for the protection of the people on the outside, they need to be underground. Simple. Now perhaps we can better understand why a woman needs protection. Why, according to the values of Torah, kol kevuda bat melech penima, the great woman, the woman who is mechubad, successful, who deserves honor, who deserves our respect, is the woman who is inside. Like we see when the angels wanted to praise Sarah Imenu in front of her husband. So what did they choose as a way of, says Rashi, they wanted lehabeba al bala. They wanted that her husband should appreciate her even more than he does. You're talking about a 90-year-old woman with her husband. They've been married for many years. You see that the love that a man has for his wife always has to be worked on and elevated. Here the angels come to visit Abraham and Sarah, and they are interested, or they see an opportunity how they can do some kindness with Abraham. He's doing kindness with them, but they want to also do kindness with him. So what could they do for him? Well, they can make him more appreciative of his wife. Unbelievable. Who would have thought that you see a 100-year-old man married to a 90-year-old wife who've been married for who knows how many years, and you're thinking, how do I upgrade this marriage? How do I make the husband appreciate his wife even more? That's what's on the angel's mind. The Torah doesn't tell us this to tell us nice stories. It's telling us this because this is the nature of a marriage. that it needs to be constantly upgraded. A person might say, now I already love my wife. I already know her. I know she's beautiful. She's great. She's awesome. You have to tell me. You think the angels are going to give a hidush to Avraham Avinu about the wife that he's living with for tens of years? What could the angel tell Avraham about his wife that he doesn't know? Probably the answer is nothing. But there is some value that somebody notices from the outside the specialty of someone. Which means I might know everything about my wife. But if it's noticed by somebody else, it somehow gives me a greater appreciation and a greater love. It's an interesting concept. You would never think. You would think, okay, I already know. Whatever they're going to tell him, he knows already. But when you hear it from somebody else, it makes a greater roshem. It makes a greater impression. And therefore, there's a greater appreciation. So interesting to know that. To be able to utilize that in life when you meet people, to get them to appreciate each other. Sometimes a person has an opportunity to say something about a child to their parents. Sometimes you have an opportunity to say something to a woman about her husband. Again, it has to be bechokhmah, with wisdom. It has to be with the proper tone and the proper way. But we have such opportunities to lift people's love for each other and appreciation for each other, even if what we're telling them, they already know. That's what the angels came to do for Avraham Avinu. They wanted lehabeva al bala. How do we make this woman more beloved to her husband? Amazing. So what did they tell him? How would they do this? What would they say about his wife? It's going to make him say, wow, she's really, you know what? She's really special. My wife's really something else. What are they going to tell him? What did they choose? It could have told him many things. Sarai Menu was flourishing with great accomplishments and great values. What would they tell him? Remember, this is the angel, so they're not limited. They got it all. So they told him like this. Vayomeru elav. They said to him, Ayeh Sarah ishtecha. Avraham, tell us, where is your wife, Sarah? Vayomer. And he said, Hine ba'ohel, my wife, Sarah. What, you expect her to see her outside with me? You're asking me, where is my wife, Sarah? What kind of ridiculous question is that? You think my wife, Sarah, hangs out with me outdoors? Hine ba'ohel. She's in the tent. She's indoors. Comes. Hazal and tell us. Yod'im hayu mal'ache hasharet. The angels knew. Sarah imenu hechan haita. Oh, they know her name. They never met her before. They know who she is. They know where she is. So why did they ask, where is she? And why do they care where she is? Ella lehodia. Because they wanted Avraham to hear. When they asked him, where is Sarah? And he would say, Sarah, my wife. She wouldn't hang out here. Those words that come out of not even the angel's mouth. All the angel did was just ask the question. And Avraham would say the answer. Even that כדי לחבבה על בעלה. Which means, if you cause the person to say the words that make that person special, again, you didn't say it. You didn't come and say, oh, why your wife said that? She's so tsanua. No. Who's saying she's tsanua? Who's saying she's modest? He's saying it. But the fact that he's able to say it to a stranger, to an outsider, that makes it more dear to him. This is the way humans are. We're learning the chokhmah of humanity. You have to learn something. We're learning the wisdom of how humans operate. That if they are able to speak about someone to an outsider, this already makes them more appreciative of who they're speaking about, even though they're providing the information. They know it already. And now I'm going to speak about it. That's what the angels did for him. They just asked him, where's your wife? Because they wanted him to hear what he had to say about his wife. Amazing. But what's really amazing is their choice of what they wanted Abraham to appreciate about Sarah. There are many things they could have said about Sarah, but they chose, if they are malach, so they are not limited. They didn't choose because of ignorance. They chose by choice. And they chose, obviously, the greatest way that they can be effective. This is only a one-time meeting. They're not seeing him again. So this is it. So they said, okay, what can we do now? The number one item that can make Abraham appreciate what kind of wife he has. Should we tell him she's a Baal Hesed, Baalat Hesed? She's a very kind woman. Should we tell him how does she pray? Maybe they'll come while she's praying and they say, you know, what's your wife doing now? And he say, oh, my wife's praying to Hashem. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. What question would they ask about Sarah Imenu that would be a real appreciative thing of her by her husband? They chose specifically that she's ba'ohel. They chose the fact that she is hidden. That is the number one value that the angels found that Abraham recognized would be like the greatest thing about his wife. From all her attributes, the number one attribute is that she is modest, that she isn't outdoors, that she is inside when she doesn't need to be anywhere else. She is behind the wall. Tzniut. Tzniut not just in dress, but tzniut in action. Tzniut in the way she lives her life and leads her life. That's a very big piece of information right there. And so many levels. That story right there has multiple pieces of chokhmah for us. The one that's relevant today is we see that the woman is like the shoresh of the tree. She's like the roots of the tree. The tree is her home. The tree is her husband. The tree is her children. The tree are her students. The tree are all her accomplishments. That's the tree. The tree is the home and all that it produces. But the woman herself is that she is the root of all that happens in her home and in her external connection to the world. She is the shoresh of all the things that we see. We look in a home and we see a great man, we see great children, we see great this, we see great that, and she's not even there. You don't see her. If you see her in a loud way, then probably you're not going to see the greatest home possible. But when you see a great home, you're probably not going to notice her. Because that's what makes a great home. The root that is hidden. The shortage of the success of a husband and a family and their future is something that needs to be underground. Whatever underground means for a woman, obviously she goes out. Obviously she's not hidden in that way. But in the woman's world, there's something called living under the radar. It's not being the front person in the conversations. It's not the loudness. Not the loudness with words. Not loudness with the dress. Not loudness in her behavior. Why is it that the woman, in order to be successful, she needs to be underground? Well, let's look at the three things that we learned about the tree. Why does the tree have to be underground? The roots of the tree have to be underground. Well, we said number one, because they're very sensitive. They can easily get damaged. Oh, a woman. A woman is a sensitive soul. What does that mean, sensitive? It means that she senses things that men may not sense. And not only she may sense them more, but it hits her on a much greater impact than a man. So let's say a man hears information that's going to shake him up. He gets shaken for 3 seconds. And he's going on, he moves forward. Yalla, next. She is gonna get stuck with that. She holds on to it. It makes a much bigger impact on her than it does on him. Now, when it comes to good things, that she needs to have a strong impact on herself, then it's good, no problem. But if she hears, let's say, bad news, it's much harder for her. If she hears worrisome news, not good for her. If she feels fear of something that might be upcoming, she gets nervous. The husband and the wife heard the same thing. But he can handle, he's like the bark of the tree. He has strength. Where things, they land on it, and he just basically gets thrown on the bug. What happens? It bounces right back. But women are much more sensitive. So therefore, they have to be protected underground. Underground means they have to be protected from many things that the man can handle. It's not for her. That's why it's so important for a man. Like the Rambam says, the Rambam that we learned yesterday, in Hilchot Ishut, you know, let me get that Rambam again. Make sure when you speak to your wife, it's the husband, make sure you talk to her calmly. Velo yiye atsev. Never look sad in front of your wife. Velo rogez. And never be nervous around your wife. Tall order. If I'm not going to be sad and nervous in my house, where am I going to be sad and nervous?
Noah.
Do it in the car. Go to your friend. Go to your mother. Or maybe visit your rabbi. But your wife? But showing sadness and showing nervousness in your home says that Rambam is forbidden. Doesn't say you can't be sad. The Rambam doesn't say a person is not allowed to be sad. I mean, it's not a good thing to be sad. But there's no avera. Hachamim didn't say you're not allowed to be sad. They didn't say you're not allowed to be nervous. Again, not a good thing. But they did say that one of your obligations to your wife is not to be sad around her and not to be nervous around her. Why? Why can't I show her my feelings? Maybe she could help me. Answer is because your sadness with her sensitivity causes her a tremendous amount of pain, more than you. Your nervousness will cause her with her sensitivity to be more nervous than you. It's not fair for you to inflict that sadness and that nervousness on her. Maybe you could handle it, but you're giving it to her and she has a much more difficult time with it. She's very sensitive. So therefore, a woman has to be protected from the outside world that might damage her. Not every piece of news that you hear should you share with her? Not everything that's going on in the world do you need to discuss with her. Not every concerning issue about your business should you be talking to her. Tariffs went up. She doesn't have to go know about that.
Easy last month.
What does she have to go know about that? Okay, you're dealing with it. You're going to struggle with it. Why does she have to know, oh, today, terrible day, tariffs went up. You're having a hard time in business. She doesn't have to know about it. How was your day? Great. How was business today? How was work? Beautiful. Baruch Hashem. What's going on in shul? Wonderful. She doesn't need to know what's going on in things that could be damaging. She's very sensitive. So therefore, it's one of the jobs, actually, of a man to protect his wife from things that could damage her. First of all, it's going to come back to haunt him. Because when he shares things with her and she gets nervous, she's going to make him miserable. So he's basically shooting himself in the foot. You're hurting her and you're hurting yourself. Protect her, Yishmerecha. Protect your daughters. Protect your wife from information that is damaging. Don't be nervous. Don't talk nervous. Don't be showing sadness. Don't do that. That's what the Rambam says. Tzivu hachamim. Hachamim commanded the man. It's one of your obligations. To her, to yourself, and to your home. And she needs to protect herself as well. A woman must realize that she's like the roots. And she must know that not everything out in the world is good for her. When she hears what people are doing, when she hears what people are buying, when she hears where people are traveling, not good for her. It may not be good for the man either. But he is like a branch. Things could hit him and just bounce off. But by the woman, it hits her in a very deep place and could cause a tremendous amount of damage. A husband, a father, and the woman herself needs to know that she is a sensitive soul. When things land on her, they stick. And it could be a lot more damaging than if it happened to a man. That's why she has to be ba'ohel. That's why she has to be protected. The second reason that we gave, we're not going to have time today to discuss. So today's lesson regarding the protection of the woman's happiness. We spoke about the woman who is Ashira Eshet Hayil. She is a rich woman. She is a satisfied woman. We said there are a number of enemies to the osher, to the feeling of wealth and satisfaction that a woman needs to have to be an Eshet Hayil. Number one, jealousy, to look in her bags, not to look at the store that's left behind, not to look outside. Number two, not to get stuck on the trees and lose the forest. And now we're learning enemy number three. When she's not protected, when she is given information that her sensitivity will not be able to handle in the right way, this will cause her not to feel the simha. She was feeling good. Her husband comes home. He's sad. He's nervous. She lost her satisfaction. Him, he's nervous, but he's still happy. But she lost it. And this is one of the enemies that a woman has to be a satisfied person. When she doesn't protect herself and she's not protected from the sensitive information that she needs to be drawn away from, when she's not protected, that could cause her hayil status, her feeling of wealth and feeling of satisfaction. We'll continue next time, Be'ezat Hashem.